Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of
What the Tuck with Brittany
and Lindsay.
Whoop, 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 whoop.
To
the moon. Shmoobagoo.
We're back again with an episode unlike any other. Just kidding. It is kind of like the other ones, but it's still fun. It's still fun. I enjoyed it.
We just want to keep it interesting.
Yeah, yeah. Keep it real. Keep it different.
Little.
Have a little mic trouble. Different.
My mic, sorry about all of the, my mic stand was loose.
That's what she said.
Ooh.
I don't think that made sense. All right. So we come back from the workroom, or no, we come back to the workroom.
After that elimination. Or lack of elimination.
Yeah, I should say. And you know what? I am kind of amazed there wasn't more drama.
It was fairly mellow.
Chatter. It was way mellow compared to some of the other weeks.
I think everyone was a bit shook by how having all of the sort of front runners in the bottom, I think it kind of like threw everyone for a loop a little bit.
Yeah, I agree. But in her true silky fashion. Oh, shoot. Remind me. Who asks the girls?
Sugar.
It's Sugar.
Since everything is, you know, kind of shooken up and everything, what are you going to do to, like, the heat is on. So what are you going to do to,
what are you going to change up to
show the judges you mean business? And, of course, Silky is like, nothing.
Yeah.
I brought what I brought. I am what I am. Blah, blah, blah. It's like, oh my God, girl.
I just cannot get over how conceited and just into herself she is.
There's no thought about anything else except, you know, what Sugar does is what Sugar does. Or not Sugar, sorry. What Silky does is what Silky does.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, you're not interested or willing to grow or build relationships with the other queens. Like, she's in a bubble where she's the best and that's it.
Yeah, it's not fun to watch.
No, it's not.
And, you know, I like it because Sugar then goes off on, not in the room, it's in
the interviews,
yes,
yeah,
about just how ridiculous that is and how
she totally
showing her true colors. And I'm like, truth, Sugar, like, thank you. Everyone is seeing this.
And if anybody has room to talk about it, it's Sugar, because she has had a very rough go of it.
You had her in the bottom like 5 weeks in a row.
Yeah, because she was not good.
Yeah.
But she is growing.
She's done learned it.
And she is trying. Grounded. And you can tell that she has a passion for it because she gets sort of like emotional and excited and like, and wants to do better. And I just feel like Silky is just there to fucking coast.
Oh, yeah.
And it makes me so mad. Why go on a competition show like this where you're supposed to be the best of the best and then just coast?
Well, I think it's something to have confidence in your style and your personality. But at the same time, confidence is, well,
it doesn't mean
conceited is different than confidence. She just seems so into herself and she just, and it's very just narcissistic, and she's just, ugh.
You can be confident and still own up to the fact that you have weaknesses. Like Brooklyn does, you know, whenever the acting challenges and things come up, she's a very confident queen in what she does well, but she knows that she has weaknesses.
Well, she said in the workroom, she's like, I know I should have been in the bottom. I knew I was going to lip sync
for my life. Exactly. And
it's
like, show a little humility. And when you do that, then you can learn and grow. But if you never show any humility. Well, that's the other thing. Silky's going on this crazy weird rant like about the Bible and God striking down the whatever. And like, it's so weird.
And going in again about girl calling me not talented.
Talentless.
And like, God, she apologized like.
Get over it.
I'm so done.
It's just an excuse for her to whine.
Oh, yeah.
Ugh.
She's just locked on vice grip.
There's certain people who they want to give you shit. And if you give them a little fuel, they will use that fuel forever.
Give me fuel.
Give me fire.
Give me that which I desire. Evie. So really, though, in general, it wasn't super dramatic.
It really wasn't. Silky was just being a big old baby like she always is.
And stealing all the airtime like she do. Ugh. So let's just go past that. And
let's talk about fun things.
Yeah, next day.
RuPaul shows up promoting RuPaul's DragCon
LA
t-shirt in a beautiful fuchsia suit.
Mm-hmm.
DragCon tee.
Oh, I'm so sad because in my Facebook feed, I have all these memories coming up of Brittany and I going to DragCon.
It was so fun.
It was a magical time.
We would have gone again this year if we weren't going to Europe, but sorry, DragCon Europe wins.
Yeah.
Next year. We are committed to going next year.
Yes. So any listeners out there, I highly recommend going to the DragCon.
It is so much fun.
Just and you days have to, of glamour.
You have to go, and you have to go to the shows that they put on because they are unreal. Insane. Insane. So, let's see. Oh, the mini challenge this week is one of my faves. The library is open because reading is what?
Fundamental,
darling.
Yes. this is one of my favorite challenges. I was really excited.
It's always fun.
For it to come back. And there was a little bit of pit croup. We got a sprinkle.
We got a little sprinkle of chest hair and pubes. A little happy trail down to the sunglasses. Lindsay, I was just thinking about this.
Mm-hmm.
Because I love the reading challenge. You know what other mini challenge that I absolutely love that I miss?
What?
Puppets.
Okay, so, yeah, where...
I don't know. I need to go back and see when they stopped doing it, but, like, that was always so much fun. Why don't they do it anymore?
I don't know.
I want it back.
I'm going to Google this.
I want it back.
I'll do some
research.
I loved
puppets. It was so much fun.
I'll come back.
This just reminded me of it, because puppets is like reading, but with puppets. Mm-hmm. It's so fun.
Mm-hmm.
Ugh.
So, we get into it, and first up... Because our lovely Miss Nina, who I don't think has a mean bone in her body.
And it shows.
And it totally should. I put, she just can't. She can't. She's too nice.
It's just rough. Like, yeah. For one, they don't really even make any sense. Like,
no, she has to explain them all. And
she's explaining her jokes, which means they're not funny.
Yeah.
And then they didn't make any sense. Like, sugarcane, more like novocaine. It's like, what?
What does that mean?
I don't. Like, she makes you sleepy, and then she talked about sipping something, and I'm like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
It didn't make any sense.
It was rough. It was kind of endearing in the fact that, again, she is just, she's just too nice.
Yeah.
It's just not there.
But this is not your challenge,
no,
girl.
No.
So
next we have Plastique.
It was neither here nor there.
It was better. There was more shade than Nina.
It wasn't a bomb, but it wasn't good.
No. The personality thing always kind of gets in the way.
I know.
Of being funny.
Oh,
jeez. Then we got Miss Vangie.
Oh, my. What was she doing?
I know. I put, oh, no. Again, it's just, I love the Vangie voice, but it's just kind of like the Plastique Asian voice where it's just like, I know that's her voice, but she just gets so elevated and it turns into the Cookie Monster yell.
And it's like, there were no jokes. Like, there was nothing funny. She just was saying things. And then she was like, why y'all not laughing? And Brooklyn,
because
you're not
funny,
bitch.
The funniest part of the
whole thing.
It was not good. Yeah, that was rough. So we are 0-3.
I know. Whoops. Rough
Which,
start.
Thank God, Evie comes in.
She was funny.
I thought she was hilarious.
She was funny.
I put win-win. Which is a good thing.
Two wins.
Yeah. No, she was funny. She was, I was just saying, please, nothing weird with Silky. Please, nothing
I
weird
know.
With Silky. Which, thank God, there wasn't.
Maybe there was.
Or there could have been.
It.
Yeah,
who knows?
Exactly. Then we go to Suga.
Suga's was, meh. It was not bad, but it was not great either.
Yeah, no. Okay.
Brooklyn. Where are you coming from with this sass?
I know.
It was out of nowhere. So funny.
So funny.
Throwing all the shade. Oh, my God.
And, like, they hit right, and they were funny and clever, and Oh.
And she delivered the them in a very dry manner, which mm-hmm. made them even better because it wasn't like she was like giggling about it. She just like delivered. It was great.
No.
I thought it was so good.
I put winner. Not I just wrote win-win.
Brooklyn. Win-win. I said win-win.
That's good. Win-win. Win-win winner. How about that? And next we have Icaria, which was...
it was all right. It was like neither here nor there.
Yeah.
Then...
oh, gosh. You know, I hope people aren't getting tired of how much crap we talk on Silky.
No.
I can't help it. It's just there. It's my feeling.
She just does it. She was a hot mess.
Hot, steaming pile of mess.
Nobody needs to be reading RuPaul.
Yeah, what does she think? But again, it's the whole atmosphere of her thinking she is
I do
just
whatever I want.
Better than everybody. Or... and I was just, yeah, I, okay, so started off on the wrong foot.
Yes.
And then it was just yelling.
It was weird rhyming for some reason. It was like a weird abstract poetry slam where you yell a lot. She just went back into, if I'm not being funny, then I'm going to get loud. And it's not good. It was so bad.
No, it was.
There was nothing funny about it. And even Rue was like, can you turn the volume down? Oh, it was
like,
not good.
Like, please keep getting these little moments where you see what she truly
is. Yeah, imagine that's what you have to hang out with all the time, Rue. That's what she's like.
Yeah.
Ugh.
So, no, it was bad. I hated it.
It was so bad.
And why end it? Like, producers, put that in the middle. Sandwich this thing.
I know. It made me so upset.
Ugh. End with Brooklyn. So, Brittany and I are sitting here just saying, you better don't.
She better don't. If Rue was having some sort of a silky stroke, like she has several times before, and gave her a win because she's crazy.
I would have flipped
the
table.
Lost it. Like, lost it because it was garbage.
Which, luckily, thank God.
Rue came to her senses.
And Brooklyn was the win-win winner.
And I agree. 100%.
Totally agree.
100%.
I really liked Evie's. I thought hers was second runner-up, but Brooklyn, by far.
By far. She best. Was great.
So good job, Brooklyn.
You really did it.
Mm-hmm. All right.
And it's letting us see a little bit more of Brooklyn.
Which needs to happen.
Yeah. You know,
no, I'm all about it.
Bring it on.
Mm-hmm. Give me some of that Canadian flavor.
A little of that maple syrup. We're so
nice,
funny.
Nice.
A little of that Canadian bacon.
A little bit of the
Pouton.
Pouton. That's terrible.
I hate it.
Oh, okay. Know what I don't hate?
The main challenge. Oh, my God. This is the shit. Okay. It's Los Angeles Drag Patrol, which is a cop-style improv TV challenge.
Bad girls.
Oh, what you gonna do?
What you gonna do when Rue comes for you?
Oh, hello. It's so fun.
So, and we were saying last week, or last episode, I should say, that this is the first time in a long time they've actually gone outside of the studio.
Yeah, they're out on the street. Not like amongst the people, they were out in the open.
The peons. But yeah, they actually let them outside, which I bet they really needed some
a little fresh air.
Fresh air time.
I know.
Gets a little hairspray in that room all the time.
Exactly.
Sucking in those fumes.
So because Brooklyn won the challenge, mm-hmm. she had the advantage of choosing the teams, and they're 2-person teams for this challenge. She chose for her partner Nina West,
which I was surprised.
I wasn't surprised because it's an acting challenge.
Well, yeah, but still, I mean, in your heart of hearts, you think, well, she'll pick her Angie.
No, Brooklyn's there to win.
Well, I know,
not
but
me.
Still, you saw the hurt on Vanjie's face.
I know, but you gotta be real. This is a competition. We're not here to...
you
it's not
this
RuPaul's
is momentary
boyfriend
love is forever
race. Is it? Just kidding.
Just
sort of.
But no, so there was that little, you know, the roux.
Then let's see. She paired Miss Vanjie with Plastique, Akiria with Evie, and Silky with Suga. And I cannot believe we're down to so few that there's only,
I know,
four groups of two. That's crazy.
I know.
I can't believe it that we're down to this.
We've lost so many.
So Brooklyn and Nina are playing feuding trailer park neighbors.
Vanjie and Plastique are some street alley cats in a cat fight.
Mm-hmm. Akiria and Evie are twerking girls.
And then Silky and Suga are some back alley butt pads.
Mm-hmm. Which just rolls so well off the tongue.
It really does.
Back alley butt pads.
So
let's just talk about their workroom critiques.
Yeah.
Or not critiques.
Like
discussions.
Walkthrough.
Yes, yes.
So it starts off with Nina and Brooklyn talking about, you know, or choosing who will be which character. And God damn, bless her heart. She's just so nice. And I appreciate that she wanted to kind of do a role reversal with the roles were kind of the sun. Well, not kind of. It was a sunbathing hippie and the neighbor.
Mm-hmm.
And so she wanted to do that role reversal, which I think could be okay. But at the same time, I do agree with Brooklyn, where she's like, you know, this isn't really the time to test that.
Well,
out.
Especially because, like, I know Nina wants to spread her wings, but they're in a partner challenge. And Brooklyn is already iffy when it comes to acting. So you need to put Brooklyn in a place where she's the most comfortable. And then Nina, who's the one who has more acting chops, needs to bump it up.
Yeah.
And that's how you succeed. Like, I don't think I... So, anywho, Nina graciously let Brooklyn have the role that she was more comfortable with.
Mm-hmm.
And she took on the role of the neighbor.
The
complaining neighbor, yeah.
Which, truly, I think is a good call. I do kind of feel for Nina because she was trying to go outside of the box. And she kind of, you know, she has that personality. And like she says, where she does try to...
She's not assertive enough.
Yeah.
Like, if it was something that she truly felt strongly about, she should have put her foot down.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whether that wins it for you or loses it for you. But, like, I think Nina has, it's an asset, but also sort of a weakness, how nice she is.
Oh, yeah.
And so,
without a doubt.
Yeah. And
I mean, just like the vice versa.
Yeah. It's
with
hard.
Silky.
Yeah.
It is an asset. Look how far it's gotten her, but it's a big old weakness because she's
well, Nina just,
hell.
she can get inside her own head a little too much. And you could see it, like, when Brooklyn was trying to, you know, talk to her, that Nina was kind of like going off, you know, like,
yeah.
Like in this, like,
this haze of mind thoughts.
Of like, oh, I've just got to get wrap my head around I this. Know. And it's like, oh, Nina, just like, chill out and have fun.
Oh yeah. Well, then RuPaul comes in.
Yes.
Lighten the mood, hopefully. Do the usual walkthrough.
Right.
And first up,
Vanjie and Plastique. It seems shaky because Rue asks what they're planning on doing, and their descriptions are extremely vague. Mm-hmm. I'm a theater cat. Well, I'm an alley cat. Okay, so what? What does that even mean?
Why wouldn't you just do two, like, rival street gang cats?
Or,
like,
make it super simple and just be two alley cats fighting over a fish bone.
But that's what, like, you could have, like, you know, we're the tabby cats. You know what I mean? And it's just stupid because it's people and cats. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
It could be a lot of things. Like, you don't need to put that much thought into it.
Or you could be
it.
Like, you know, one cat is a catnip dealer and the other one is a cat junkie.
Yeah.
There are funny things that can be done, but it was like, it didn't make any sense.
No.
I'm a theater cat and I'm on my way to well, we'll get into that later, but
yeah.
They don't look like they have thought this through in the slightest.
But RuPaul came out and said, straight up, do not revert to that
nail tech Vietnamese voice.
Don't do it.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll just leave all right, that
so
there.
We'll leave that there and move on to Akira and Evie. I don't know. Their critique sort of walkthrough thing was a little shaky. Like, what it came across as being was mostly there's a good deal of pressure on you two to do well because Evie screwed up so much in the last one.
Yeah, I feel like they talked more about how bad she did in the
there wasn't a lot of focus.
Creative editing, too. Yeah. I'm sure there's probably more to it, but there was a lot of
that
focus
was
on that.
The major focus was like, you did really poorly, so you need to do better this time.
Yeah.
So and we didn't really get to see a whole lot into what their plan was.
Yeah,
so.
I wrote down, I don't really know what to think of it because there really wasn't much there to digest. So
the only sense I got is that there's a good deal of, like, they are definitely pinpointing on, like, you need to do better this time.
Yeah. Yeah.
So lots of pressure. Then we had Silky and Suga with the back alley butt pads. And Silky, as usual, is confident in any choice she's ever made and isn't really interested in talking about anything constructive.
Mm-hmm.
And Suga sounds thoroughly confused at what she's even doing.
I just put, I'm scared for her.
Because she just looked like a deer in headlights during that walkthrough.
And I just thought, I was like, if you were getting run over in just this, in the three of you talking in the workroom,
what's
going
to happen? Yeah.
Like, you've got to.
I know.
Figure some shtick out to overcome the Silky.
Right, right.
Because it. Otherwise, you're in major trouble.
Well, and that kind of plays into Rue asked Brooklyn what her strategy was when she made the teams. And she said, you know, I wanted to put one like kind of stronger personality and maybe with like stronger acting capabilities with like somebody who is a little bit weaker in that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the person, I mean, for the most part, she did do that. Except, but
I
don't know.
I think she did with everyone, honestly.
I think she kind of underestimated Akira, though. Because she's not done poorly in acting challenges.
No, but she hasn't really
stood out, though. Yeah. No, that's true. That's true. So, then we get to watch some hilarity ensue with the Los Angeles Drag Police to swerve and protect. And the officers in this improv are Cheyenne Jackson from American Horror Story and Fortune Feimster, who is a female comedian. You've probably seen her on Chelsea lately. She kind of bops around on a bunch of the different.
She's
so funny. I love her.
I like that sense of humor. That really tickles the funny bone for me.
And featuring RuPaul as the police dispatcher.
Oh man, I loved her like laser cat typing where it's just like check.
And then like the one time when she's got the little like 1 pound barbell and oh, how much they make there, what's your tips like.
Like, so good.
It's so funny.
So good.
I was loving it.
So first up we have the back alley butt pads with Suga and Silky. So basically we'll set the scene. Back alley
butt pads. No, I'm just kidding.
Butt pads. Silky's there with her trunk full of butt pads and they
like selling,
roll up on
yeah, her. Selling bootleg butt pads mm-hmm. out of the trunk of her car, and apparently there's been a complaint called in and that's why the police are showing up. So Silky is
the butt dealer.
In more ways than one.
Yes.
Silky was funny. I mean, I thought,
but it's the same.
It's the same
it's
thing.
The same
it's very
humor.
One note. There's nothing interesting or innovative. Like it's literally the same character she puts forth in every
Let
challenge.
Let me yell at you. Let me give you something to eat. Let me rip off my hair or some item of clothing.
I'm gonna run around. Like the only thing that she didn't do was get naked.
which is surprising.
I know. I am actually surprised that she didn't flash him.
I mean, I'll give her it. There were funny parts for sure.
Yeah.
But it only was because of the playing off of
the other actors.
Exactly.
But then Suga comes in and it's a mess.
It is a hot mess.
Suga is fully confused and stumped several times where, like, you know, the actors in the scene, like the actual professional actors, are sort of
trying to throw stuff things to her.
And she just gets this blank look on her face. And then, I mean, Silky was nice enough to step in and, like, kind of throw things in to try and get things moving. So that was good, you know. Yeah. But poor Suga. I think, for one, the story they came up with was awful. Like, why was she a reverend's wife who now had a younger lover that she wanted to impress, so she needed butt pads? It, like, why is it so complicated? Why can't it just be some woman who wanted butt pads, and these butt pads had a bunch of holes in them, or
something?
Well,
it's like when people get, you hear the stories of people getting botched, like, Botox.
Yeah.
Why, like, go be padded all over, super weird.
Look lumpy and weird and be like, what happened? Like, yeah, you know, you told me that these would make me look amazing, and, like, my husband won't even touch me now. Like, it could be so simple.
Yeah. Like Toxic Avenger butt pads or something. You know,
like, just, the problem,
like,
is,
like, turned you into a ghoul.
I think Suga was trying to think too much about it, like, yeah, trying to, like, develop this sort of in-depth character. But it's like, it's an improv scene. It's a comedy improv scene. Like, you can be an extremely broad character and make it funny.
Yeah. Well, and it's such a short scene, so yeah, you have to have big impact really quickly.
And unless you are really talented at getting the message across, you can't tell a complex story in that short amount of time.
No. And in what she was wearing,
it didn't make any sense. Like, what woman who looks like that's going to be walking around a back alley looking for butt pads? That's not.
No.
She needed to look jankier.
Mm-hmm.
It sucks because I really, you know,
she's grown on me.
She is growing on me, but that was not a good performance.
No.
So.
No.
Although Miss Akiria, as she does, has the best interview quotes, and she said she about Suga's performance, I think the chicken had more airtime than Suga.
I know.
I was dying.
Can we just get her on for the rest of time?
I just love her commentary. She cracks me up.
She says exactly what you're
thinking. Exactly what you're thinking. It's so funny.
And clever.
Yeah. Oh my god, yeah. I love her running commentary.
I'm a converted Akiria fan. She is just too much.
Okay, so then next we had Brooklyn and Nina with the trailer park feuding neighbors. So Brooklyn is, I'll set the scene for you. Brooklyn is a sort of hippy-dippy sunbather who likes to sunbathe in the nude. And we come to find out that it's actually in Nina's little lawn in front of her trailer park, and Brooklyn lives next door. So Nina is the one who called the cops.
And Nina is like this all-American
mullet-wearing
star-spangled denim.
Amazing. It's
lady.
I Nina's outfit is,
yeah, it's good.
Hilarious.
So Brooklyn was
hilarious.
I mean,
I've not seen her be funny like that.
No. This was something really snapped into place for her.
Yes. It was so funny. Like, she was, like, coming up with funny stuff off the cuff, and, like, her physicality definitely, like, I think that's what helped her feel more confident, was that she was embracing her physicality.
Uh-huh.
And that was, like, got her in more of a comfort zone to be funny.
Yeah. This really reminded me of, like, Reno 911.
Oh, totally. Totally.
Because it was just so over the top, and with just her just touching them and being weird and all the okay, so I have a husband who is a vegan. And so I'm a level 4 vegan. Just
that was so funny.
Killed me.
That was so funny.
I've met these types of people, and it's, I mean, they're not running around me naked.
What was her name again? Oh my god. Oh, something Starfire Glamazon or something like that. It was, and that just reminded me of, like, you're like, how you know, you meet these goofy hippies who are like, my name is Twilight, poppy, sunflower. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's so funny.
Yeah.
No, I thought that was great.
No, she, I was, too funny. But record scratch, Nina.
Okay, so this is an unfortunate thing.
Yeah.
This is one of the unfortunate parts of Nina thinking too hard.
Mm-hmm.
I guess they had come up with a Q word.
Yeah.
That Brooklyn would say, and then Nina would come out. But Brooklyn forgot to say it.
Which, you're in the zone. It's improv.
And like, that's the whole thing.
Know that you're not going to get your Q and just go.
Well, it's like, if you get it, great. If not, whatever, I'm coming out and doing my thing.
Mm-hmm.
So Nina, in her interview, is complaining about how, well, I didn't get my cue and it really threw me off. And I don't want to throw Brooklyn under the bus or anything, but, you know, I was really expecting to get this cue and it was the Brooklyn show. And it's like, oh, my God, girl, if you want attention, go out there and get some attention.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. That's part of the not being assertive enough.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is, there was nothing really to complain about because once she got out there, it was hilarious.
Yeah, she did great.
So I good. Mean,
I will give Brooklyn, she stole the show, but yeah. Nina was not a far second. Because she played the character so well, and it was such a just like far opposite of Brooklyn, it was so funny.
Well, and if you think about it, if it had just been Brooklyn through that whole scene, it would have gotten boring and dumb.
Yeah.
But because Nina came in, it gave her this sort of someone to play off of, and then their interaction became the funny part.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, so I thought it worked well all around. Brooklyn definitely shone more, but I don't think that Nina was,
I don't think she was far behind.
I don't think it was bad at by any means. Like, I wouldn't I don't think that she's
if
would
anything,
be in the bottom.
Again, I just wish, and because it's funny, before they even cut to that explanation of why she didn't come out, I was like, man, it seems like Nina has been sitting somewhere
far
too
long. Yeah, she should have come out sooner. I think she was too far in her own head.
Yep.
But
good. Overall,
it was good.
Funny.
Yeah. No, it was good and really funny.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So
that was fun. And then.
So then we get into the alley cat fight with Vanjie and Plastique. So I'll set this scene.
It won't take long.
I know. There's not much to it. We're in front of a convenience store, and they roll up on the two cats fighting.
So there's not much more to it than that. Like, it's legit.
One has milk.
Like, they're in a full-on fight. It's not even, like, there's no nuance to it. They're, like, grappled up against each other and wrestling around fighting. Like, it's already at peak Jerry Springer.
And Plastique just breaks off and gloms.
Runs over, like, to the cop.
Right from the get-go. Which, okay, so we didn't mention this, but a good segue. Vanjie says in the workroom, I need to make sure that I don't start at a 10.
I need to build it up.
Yeah, because that's what I do, is I always take it right to a 10. And I agreed. I thought that was, and Rue did too. Like,
yes, oh,
that
okay.
That is a major issue with your acting. Where the hell did that go?
It went right out the freaking window, because they started at a 10 even before the police got there. Like, later you'll see, I mean, we'll talk about it, but with Akira and Evie, they were fighting when the police rolled up. But in a way that was like, we're confronting each other, but we're talking and this and that. Like, it was not at a 10. It was at like a 4.
Well, and it was, well, we'll get to the, but this was like poorly pretending to fight, because it was still like fighting. It wasn't acting fighting.
No,
it whereas was, Akira and Evie,
they were acting fighting, which makes it funnier,
funny.
Because it's obviously not fighting.
Yeah.
And so part of it is like the goofiness of fake fighting.
Exactly.
But these guys, like, through the whole scene, they're actively like grappling with each other. So you can't see their faces. You can't hear what they're saying. You can't tell what's actually going on.
It's I literally don't even really still know what the story was.
There was, I
except
heard
for that there was
there was a boyfriend and some milk, and Theater Cat was going to an audition.
And I think stole Street Cat's boyfriend and Street
but
Cat.
But on her way to an audition,
to steal her milk.
What?
I'm very
it makes
confused
no sense.
Still.
It literally made no sense. I don't think they even knew what they were doing.
Yeah. Again, and it was just completely overthought.
It was so uncomfortable. This was the epitome of Lindsay, your least favorite thing, where it gets so uncomfortable that you just want it to stop.
Oh, yeah.
And you have to keep watching it. And even in the judging, Rue said the same thing. I just wanted it to be over.
And that is like a
death curse right there.
That is really bad. If there's no saving grace, nothing.
Well, ooh. And then the nail in the coffin, the acrylic nail in the coffin, was that Plastique shifted. At the very end, she was desperate and shifted back into that Vietnamese nail tech voice. And it was like, it felt like a Hail Mary. I know this is not going well. I'm going to try and do something that I know people think is funny. And it seemed so desperate.
Oh, it desperation voice.
It was so rough.
For sure.
Oh my God, it was so bad.
Well, and again, cut scene to Akira, who's the funniest. And just the look.
It's so good.
Again, what we're all thinking.
We're all thinking
she
like.
She didn't even have to talk.
You and I both, when it came up, we both looked at each other like, ooh.
No.
Okay.
Oh. So that just, that ship ran aground quite.
It was a wreck.
Right from the get-go.
It was
and
a wreck.
And I was also glad when it was bad. I mean, when it was over.
Whoa, all right.
I was not glad when it was bad. It's
I
just,
thought
I
you
put,
liked those guys.
I wrote bad so many times next to it.
I know. I know. I wrote so many question marks when I was writing my notes. It was just like so confusing. What are they doing?
Bad storyline, yelling too much, and I said Asian revival.
Oh, so bad.
It's just
as painful. Ugh.
Well,
but on so
at least they got arrested for it.
They did get arrested.
Sorry. Okay, so moving on. Last group.
Last group and you guys, we did not end on a sour note with this challenge because Akira and Evie are the twerking girls. They're on the corner. I'll set you a little scene. There's a younger looking queen, got braids. She's looking sassy. We got an older looking queen in sort of a bodysuit, bejeweled necklace, and as Michelle Visage put it, a Hillary Clinton wig.
Oh, totally.
So good. And they are doing this sort of that Jerry Springer confrontation where you're standing a little bit far apart from each other and like sort of flexing on each other but not actually doing anything.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a really great way to like show that there's conflict but not be like fully
engaged.
Because the cops pull up and you can tell that these two people are like not getting along, but there's room for it to grow.
Yeah. Well, and like over exaggerated slaps in.
Yes.
Silly. Yeah.
So apparently Evie is like the young new queen who just came back from
twerking the streets.
Booty Barlam and booty whatever. Barlam and Twerkums. Twerkums and
booty.
Bailey. I forget.
Rubber baby buggy.
It's
bumpers.
The twerkus.
Yes.
She just came back from the twerkus and she wants to work this corner, but Akira has been working this corner for years and she's like the old queen who's been twerking for years.
It's like Peaches.
Tell her to get off her corner, which I'll tell you what, I have seen. Nice call out to Peaches.
Thank
if anyone
you.
Who's listening to this podcast has ever been to the Claremont Lounge, you know what I'm talking about.
ATL.
So, if you've ever been driving down the street at a next to a sort of freeway on-ramp or off-ramp where somebody is begging for change, and you've seen where somebody is on someone else's turf, this is exactly what it looks like.
Oh, yeah. I've seen this.
It's exactly what it looks
I've
like.
I've seen this. I've seen actual, like, kerfuffles.
Oh, yeah, for sure. On the way to work, when you're, like, just waiting to turn left. Mm-hmm. At the light and you're like, ugh.
Because there's rules with
this.
This
is my corner.
But, oh, man, I just... Akari was on it. And don't get me wrong, Evie did great. Evie was a definite backup character.
Yes, Evie was a supporting actor.
Yes.
And Akari was the shit.
So funny.
Oh, my God.
And in character the whole time, like, they were throwing her stuff, and she was just
picking it up
and twerking with it.
Oh, my God. Twerking is a blessing against the wall. Oh. And then, like, it's so funny because I did not expect this. Last week, I was so nervous about the, like, they totally tricked me with their editing.
Yeah.
I said Akari might go home this week because I was nervous that she was going to, like, bomb it.
But she was going to pull Honey.
I know. I was really nervous that there was some sort of weird crawling.
Writhing on the
but
ground.
It was hilarious.
Oh, man.
Hilarious.
And then they find out
that Akari had a baby with Marky Mark and Evie is the baby.
So again, hilarity ensues.
Oh, my God.
It's so good. I just can't get over. I'm going to go home and watch it again.
When Akari is running away.
Well, when she goes like, I'm going to got to get it. And she smacks her with the tote bag.
She's like, oh, I need my sugar's low.
Oh, man. I would watch that show. Like, make
so funny.
Netflix, pick it up. Oh, my God. Watch it.
It was hilarious. Yeah. And you could tell that they were having fun. And is, I think, the biggest, like, what made it the best out of all of it is that none of it, I kind of forgot I was watching a challenge and felt like I was just watching, like, a Reno 911 or, like, a funny...
Super Troopers or
something. Like, it felt very in the moment. It didn't feel like anybody was trying to do anything. They were just doing it.
Yeah. No.
It was hilarious.
This will definitely go down in one of my favorite...
Challenge moments of all time.
Truly.
It's funny. Right up there with, like, when Latrice is like, keep that squirrel away from my nuts. It's up there.
Oh,
it's so good.
Oh, yeah.
Twerking is a blessing.
Oh.
I love it.
So, needless to say, my favorite was.
I mean,
if you couldn't
absolutely.
Tell.
No, it was, I felt like Brooklyn and Nina were really funny, but you could tell that they were acting.
Yeah.
This one felt legit.
Yeah.
Akari and Evie, winners around the board.
Dartboard.
Sure.
Never mind.
Bullseye.
Yeah. Roulette. I don't know.
Who knows?
All right. So, bum ba da ba.
Heading to the workroom, getting ready for the runway.
Which is?
Face-kini fantasy.
So this is based off of RuPaul's very iconic look when she wore the
visor,
super blonde pony.
High pony, the big visor, the floral face-kini with the big red lip.
Yeah.
And there was all the controversy that she wasn't there because she was sick or something, because she had sounded sick in the episodes before.
Blah, blah,
like,
blah.
Whatever. Conspiracy theory.
Mm-hmm.
So, there really is not a whole lot going on in the workroom except for the fact that Silky is a lazy ass who doesn't put any sort of effort or detail into anything that she fucking does.
And it just, like, I don't, and we've said this a million times, how can you be on this show and think that's fine?
There's no passion behind what she does. Where is the passion? Like,
I equate it to roller derby. When I skate and practice and scrimmage, I'm in it, but I'm, you know, just doing my thing. If I'm in a tournament, I am fully in there. I'm doing the best that I can. I'm trying to show the best that I can. I wouldn't act like I'm in a scrimmage at a tournament. And she is just constantly acting that way.
She's coasting. Like, it's not... I know that, you know, it's a hard thing. But it doesn't look hard to her because she's not working hard.
Well, to me, this is just... the tale as old as time too. Tale as old as time too. it's a challenge I don't think she likes and doesn't care about. And
so she doesn't put any effort in.
It's just like the horror one.
It makes me so mad because she is literally coasting on her personality, and then like she'll have these high moments when things fit what she wants to do. And then on things that she's doing what she doesn't want to do, she tries to coast by on her personality. And I just want the judges to see that because it's messed up.
Yeah.
I don't think that she deserves the accolades that she's getting.
Oh, I totally agree.
It makes me crazy.
Well, or she deserves to have as much criticism as the other queens.
As anybody else, exactly.
Who
yeah.
are doing the exact same thing that she is doing.
Totally.
So I... So yeah, she says, basically, I don't need to paint my face because
all
I'm doing is lip. And everyone looks annoyed. I mean,
because
everyone looks annoyed.
You don't have to do a full face, but everybody is at least doing an eye and a lip. Mm-hmm. And she doesn't even do an eye. And it's like, later, you'll see, for one, her face kini is too tight. Like,
Hold on. Let's get into this.
I'm just saying that, like, she should have done her eye holes bigger, and then she would have to do eye makeup.
Well,
but we can talk about it in the looks.
Yes, because
it makes me mad. I'm
well,
mad.
So from the workroom though, she is not looking well in the queen's eyes.
No.
You can tell people
Everybody's
are annoyed.
Pissed. Yeah.
Yeah. You know why? Again, it's. It looks like laziness. It looks like she just doesn't care. And again, it just looks like she thinks she's better than everyone. Like, I don't have to do the work that you're doing.
It's just terrible. It's a really bad attitude.
Yeah.
Especially when everybody else is working really hard.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Well, I hate it. All right. So let's get to this runway and let's talk about something wonderful.
Yeah, we will. Because Rue looks like a seafoam showgirl.
Oh, my gosh. Just... beautiful
feathers.
It's one of my favorite colors.
Just a beautiful mint green seafoam and like a white blonde wig.
Mm-hmm.
It's so gorgeous.
Yeah, she looked just absolutely
and really
beautiful.
Big padded hips, like mm-hmm. really big hips. It mm-hmm. looked so good. It was yeah. really fun and something different than we've seen on her. I liked it.
Oh yeah,
it was really fun.
I like that she is. I mean, there's some classic looks, but like last week with her shorter dress.
Lindsay, speaking of which, I think I sent you an Instagram direct message, but you never look at them.
I'm terrible.
That outfit from last week, she is her own outfit. She's rewearing it from the 90s.
Oh my God.
I found this thing where they put them side by side and it was like, oh my God, get it, girl. Oh my God.
Can you imagine her closet?
It's got to be the most fun. Oh,
I can't.
I just, one day, Lindsay. So I've never been to Dollywood, but I would obviously go.
Uh-huh.
I would also go to Rue Land.
If they made a Rue Land, I would go.
We would have to go. It'd be like Graceland, but RuPaul's house. And just all the...
Or we could just find out where she lives.
No, we're not that bad. Maybe. Might be.
And the next episode is hosted from prison.
Prison!
All right, let's get into this face kini runway.
Okay.
First up, we have Suga.
Nope, Silky.
Silky. Why did I put that?
I don't know.
Where
are your eyes, girl?
Okay.
The eye holes are not even big enough for your actual eyeballs.
I was surprised how she could even see.
I don't think she could part of the time because when you were looking at it, all you could see was brown skin. So I think the mask was moving around and it was literally the eye holes were over her eyelids.
And you could tell too by the nose.
Yeah,
hole.
It was not in the right place.
So she was trying to be a fly, which, and Michelle says it later.
With no wings?
If you have no wings, you're a cockroach. So why the hell would you say you're a fly if you have no fucking wings?
Because she's wearing a leather sort of day wear suit
with
thing.
Like a pencil skirt.
Skirt and a jacket, and then a full on it basically is a like a swimsuit material balaclava, straight up. Yeah. There's nothing interesting to it except that it's got two tiny eye holes and a mouth hole. And then this bejeweled fly, as she says it, hat on
top.
Which,
okay, the fly
That's
part
cool.
looked good. But it why would you only do that and then have this basic, like,
daywear outfit?
Well, and just sheath. Like, how are you supposed to get... Oh, it was just
And then she had
so
a glittery black lip so that you couldn't even tell. Like, it just... It looked like nothing. It looked like nothing with a fly on top or a fly head on top. It didn't make any sense.
No.
And it was not good.
It was so bad. Again, I just think she... It's not... Be pretty, be glamour, be runway, or be pageant. And so
she just doesn't have any taste. Like, she doesn't know how to, like, look at an eye, like, come up with an actual look that's not freaking glamour looks.
Yeah. So I said, hate it, bug dust.
Mm-hmm. All right. So then we had Suga. Yes. And this was so fun.
I mean, I'm going to put that in there as one of the top looks of RuPaul.
It was so fun. It fully, like, had this sort of My Fair Lady element to it, but in a very, like, modern, edgy way.
And classy and well-constructed.
And then the contrasting print of the polka dot gloves with the floral print was so smart. Because you could have done a floral glove, too, and it would have looked fine, or even a solid, but the contrasting print elevated it a lot. It made it very fashion.
And her eye makeup, her lips looked so good. It was so good.
It was jaw-dropping. It was really good.
I was just blown away. Even and I needed that to wash away the stink.
Silky. Then Brooklyn came out as a sort of steampunk zebra, which was really beautiful looking. I wasn't floored by it.
Yeah.
It was, I cannot say that it has any faults, but it was not as innovative as others.
I thought it was really hard to see the detail on the runway.
Because
I didn't even realize she had the wire mask on until she lifted it up, because it gets lost when you have a black.
Yes. Background.
Base. Yeah.
Well, I think that is the type of outfit that if you were at a club and you saw it up close, it'd be like, holy shit. Yeah. But it was kind of lost on the runway.
Yeah.
But it
was still awesome.
I can't critique it. Yeah. Like, it was gorge, but it was not.
It didn't have the impact that Suga's did.
Or next, Nina.
Oh, man. Good
this
freaking job.
This was one of the biggest things that I think was such a success. Was her proportions were spot on.
So good.
Breasts, hips, butt. It was so good.
I'm right there with you. I said, look at that figure. Just
and it was
finally
giving me,
getting it.
Yeah. And it had a very, like, sort of a weird, almost sci-fi element to
it.
So
I put
Clockwork
Orange.
Exactly. That's what I was thinking, too.
Like, totally.
It reminded me of something that, like, a character you would see in Clockwork Orange, like some sort of a weird, in some strange futuristic environment where, like,
Stanley
Kubrick
esque.
And it was great.
Yeah.
I loved it. And one of the things, it's such a simple detail, but those super large eyelashes.
I loved them.
That took it over the top. It's the details like that that make it feel really special. Mm-hmm. And it was so good.
Yeah, and just well constructed.
One of the things, too, that I appreciate, she didn't have to. I mean, spoiler alert, but you've already seen it. She did a full face underneath with polka dots in case she did have to lip sync.
Lip sync.
That,
which again,
is
you care.
She cares. She wants to be there. And that's the shit that, like... You need to want it.
Yeah. Because, man, can't you imagine if Suga... Spoilers. Never mind. I was quite enamored with this look.
And I loved it.
You know what? Coming off of her really fun sequin patriotic look last week, her runway's getting
better.
A lot better.
She is listening and adapting, and that is such a great quality yeah. in this show, because you need to be receptive.
Mm-hmm.
You're there to be judged. That's the whole freaking point. You're there. If you don't want to be judged, then don't go on the show.
Yeah.
There's a judges panel. If you're going to go anywhere where there's a judges panel, you need to realize you're going to be judged.
Yeah, exactly. Especially if it's consecutive weeks of judging.
Exactly.
All right. So next,
Miss Vanjie.
Okay.
Let's take a breath.
Okay. So we'll give her that.
She switched.
It's a different silhouette.
Yes.
I am with you. I hate the pants.
She looks like she's got salamis for legs.
They look. Yeah. They look like little puffs with a very weird crotch.
It's bunching in the crotch, which is very unflattering. And then they're very straight up and down, like from the thigh to the leg. It looks like weird salamis.
I just don't, especially for someone who loves to showcase her body. Why wouldn't you do a like tight ass fitting?
Just do a legging. It would be like so simple. Do a legging. Like, why is it this weird pant?
Well, and why wouldn't you kind of go full bondage mode and do like kind of like black bondage straps over it? Because that was the thing for me. I was like, you're fully riding on that ponytail, which is badass. But then the rest needs to be super boring. Yeah,
like you need to integrate this like latex twisted ponytail into, like, it just all felt very discombobulated. Like,
yeah.
It seemed like the start of an idea, not the end of an idea.
Yeah.
And absolutely. So it was, yeah, no, it was not for me.
Yeah. Weird.
It was very weird. Eh. Plastique was next. And this was a beautiful look. It was a beautiful, well concepted. That's not a word, is
conceptualized.
It? Conceptualized idea.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't a true face kini.
Why would... I feel like they can show people these looks before they go, right? Because if she but showed it point, to someone or had someone make it for her, like, how could you...
I feel like the concept was so specific. It is basically a hood with the eyes and the mouth cut out.
And, like... For me, when I first saw her, I thought, oh, Catwoman. And then I'm like, why wouldn't you go like full Catwoman?
Right.
That would have looked like, but like a futuristic, like new feel of right. a Catwoman.
Well, and like.
But it looked, maybe it would have redeemed her terrible Catwoman earlier. Because yeah, it was again, her just trying to be too pretty.
I know. It was just rough. I think that, because she did look gorgeous. That yeah. look in another context would have been a winner for me.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think that it embraced the challenge correctly. And no. that was a bummer. Because yeah. the whole thing is like this sort of spin on beauty. Like, that's the whole idea of that sort of weird concept of the face kini is yeah. like sort of like a middle finger to beauty. Like, mm-hmm. well, all you can see is this, yeah. you know? And I don't think she embraced that.
I mean, just as much as Silky, when you, all you did was
fully flip. Cover it yeah, up. Then it's like, but then where's the human in there?
Yeah,
it's,
exactly.
It just didn't seem right no. for the challenge. And that was a bummer.
Yeah.
So then, we had Akiria, who had an idea that we have seen before. And Michelle Visage brought it up. The sort of like plastic surgery markings and things. But this was a full body nude suit with just eyes and mouth showing. And what I really liked about it was that all of the surgery markings were done in sequins.
I love that too.
It made it like very, you could have. It was like glam.
Yeah, you could have just made that fabric, but that was the little extra.
Well, it made it Akiria because yeah. I could not see Akiria coming out in just something that was like marked up in Sharpie.
Yeah, that's Evie. But this is Akiria.
But Akiria is a pageant girl.
Mm-hmm.
And this, like, and she had, like, a full red glitter lip. It was very her in that. But she, that's the whole thing, though. She is very much about glamour,
mm-hmm.
but she embraced the challenge 100%.
Yeah.
And it was good.
Yeah. Okay. I didn't like her shoes.
No, her shoes were not
I thought
great.
That was not very well thought out.
No, I think that the shoes would have been better in something of, like, if she had just done, like, you literally could have done a nude boot.
Yeah.
And it would have been perfect.
Yeah.
So I thought
that was a little weird, and it looked like she had maybe a ponytail underneath.
Yeah, I don't know what was...
Because it was sticking out kind of weird at the back. And
yeah, I don't know what
was going on. I feel like it would have looked better just...
If it was smooth.
Yeah. But that's me being very picky because I loved it.
It was really good.
I loved it.
Then we had Evie, and it was a fun idea, but not executed right.
I didn't like it. I think she's been hitting it out of the park week after week, but this looked very half-assed to me.
My biggest pet peeve was that she had these, and she even was explaining it, that she has these sort of like sex shop lips that are supposed to, like, you know, so you can do a blowjob without too much teeth. I didn't mind the extended lip thing, like, if you know,
mm-hmm.
whatever. My biggest issue was that she kept drawing attention to it. Like, look at my lips. I'm licking them. I'm pointing at them. I'm licking them again. I'm pointing at my lips. It's
to that point, that in as much didn't bother me. But what bothered me was the rest of her outfit was basic. I mean, it was a black mm-hmm. leotard cut up with green neon paint
on it.
On
yeah.
it. And so to me, she had to direct your attention to the face that she'd put a hell of a lot more time into, because the rest of it was just boring.
It didn't. Yeah. It did not seem like a completed concept.
No, no,
it,
not at
it
all.
It felt very kind of half. Hers felt
which
half-assed
is weird
to
because
me.
To me, this would be her right up her alley.
I know it was. It is weird. I don't know.
Yeah. And like, I didn't like the hair.
No.
I didn't. I think too much focus
I liked the,
was on the face.
I liked the lime green with the really red. Like, liked the color concept was great. It just wasn't, executed properly is the problem. And that is a bummer because it really should be right up her alley.
Yeah.
But, you know, spoiler alert, luckily it didn't hinder her, you know?
No.
So let's talk about our tops, or the tops and bottoms.
Well, first, safe, we have Nina.
Which was a bummer to me.
Yeah.
I feel like over Silky, she should have been in the top three.
Silky wasn't in the top three, was she?
Yep.
Oh, yeah, she just was safe after. Yeah, I agree. I think Nina was way funnier.
I think Nina should have been in the top
three.
And
her outfit was a
way
hell of a
better.
Lot better.
Way better.
Yeah.
Oh, it's the Silky syndrome. The problem is the new judges coming in always love Silky because they've only seen her for 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You'll get over it. Yeah. I promise.
Give it time. And
I feel
then,
so negative today. I don't mean to, but I just am.
You're doing fine.
I'm sorry. She just makes me crazy. It makes me crazy that people, it's the whole thing we talked about last week where it's like, she's fine in small doses, but when you've had too much, it's just too much.
Yeah.
Ugh.
And I have had my fill. Thank you very much.
I know it.
So then also safe is Evie, which...
I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
I don't think that she was exceptional to where she needed... Like, I think that she deserved
to
be safe.
Well, yeah. Icaria was much better. Well, stole the show, but Evie was good.
Yeah.
And like I said, her look was not my favorite, but not my least favorite. So
yeah. I think safe is great.
All right, so tops.
We had Brooklyn Heights, Silky, and Icaria. I do not agree with Silky being in the top.
Not at all.
I think Nina
for that
been
runway
there.
Look alone.
And she was not that funny in the challenge.
No.
Whatever.
No.
Nope.
Brooklyn, I think, is a good choice.
And absolutely.
Icaria,
it, yeah,
for sure.
I agree with Brooklyn and Icaria, but I think Nina should have been in the top and Silky should have been safe.
Yeah. In the bottom, we have
Vanjie.
which I totally see for her acting and for her look.
Yep.
Plastique. Same.
And Suga, I think, had to be in the bottom because of her acting, but her look was the shit.
Yeah.
So she's obviously safe. Suga mm-hmm. is safe because... And her acting was not as bad as Plastique's and Manji's. No,
at least there was something to it, and I got some laughs at it.
Yeah. No, it's one of those things where it's like there has to be three in the bottom, so Suga was in the bottom. Yeah. But she didn't deserve to go home.
No.
So, to my delight, and I'm going to imagine yours as well, Akiria is the winner this week.
Yes.
And I'm so happy because she really put it all out there.
Mm-hmm.
And she did such a good job.
Very, very, very well deserved.
I love it. I really have enjoyed seeing Akiria grow.
Oh, yeah.
And come out of her shell.
Yeah. I mean, like you said, I've really liked her one-on-ones.
Yes.
Since the get-go. And I really wanted that to start transferring into the rest of the show. Well, and
she even said on the runway after she was given the win, you know, this is really... exciting for me because I came onto the show expecting that I needed to stay poised. I needed to have, like, you know, this sort of polished look because I'm a pageant queen. And she said, you know, the most fun that I've had is when I've let go.
Yeah.
And that's so cool to see.
Yeah.
That makes me happy.
Agreed. I like what she's dishing out.
Well, and it's funny because it's the same thing. Like I think we both experienced it with Trinity, the Tuck Taylor. Mm-hmm. Where it's like their aesthetic might not be your aesthetic, but if you are like a good performer and a genuine person that like you really enjoy getting to know them, like there's so much that you have to offer and that's exciting.
Yeah.
And I totally agree. How I feel about Akira. It's like it may not be like her pageanty thing may not be my cup of tea, but like I really am starting to really like her as a person.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the ticket.
That's half the battle.
I know it.
You can be beautiful, but horrible person. It's possible.
I can't. I was just trying to think of somebody.
Well.
Bum, bum, bum. Bing, bum, bum. Wait, hold on. Ooh, no, before we say any more things, I wrote this down because we have to talk about it.
Oh, okay.
While they were talking while the judges were deliberating, when Cheyenne Jackson brought up the Cooter Slam. Can we just talk about hashtag Cooter Slam? That was one of the
can
funniest.
Can I say this?
And then Rue was like, I hope so. Oh my God. Ooh. That's one of my favorite moments of the season.
I think this is going to become a reoccurring term.
Cooter Slam.
Oh my God.
Oh my God. I could not stop laughing. It was so funny. Oh my God. It was so funny.
I forgot about that. I'm glad you brought it up.
Oh my gosh. I'm going to look up hashtag Cooter Slam on my Instagram later and see if anything shows up.
You could really get a wide variety of...
A lot of images.
Yeah, stuff from that.
Oh my God. That was hilarious. It was so funny. Yes. I was dying.
Oh, same.
Okay. And let's just, you know, have a moment of silence for the fact that Ross Matthews wasn't there and we didn't get to see his suit.
Know.
So everyone, just a moment of silence. All right.
That's enough.
That's enough.
Next week.
We'll see what happens.
So, in the bottom, we have Ms. Vanjie.
Ms. Vanjie and Plastique Tiara. This is a sad one. I like both of them.
Yeah. You know, they both have their faults, but I really enjoy watching both of them.
So, I don't know that I'm ready to watch either of them go, but...
Yeah, this is tearing at my heartstrings a bit.
We already had a double save, so you know that shit's not going to happen again.
Yeah.
So they do their lip sync to Hood Boy by Fantasia, who I think is the one girl from American Idol? I don't know.
Don't look at me like I know.
I don't know, and I've never heard this song before, and I feel like this song is too slow for lip sync. I wasn't feeling a groove on it. It was fine, but I didn't feel strongly one way or the other.
Especially after last week.
Yeah, it felt very lackluster to me. And It was hard because it was such a slow jam. Plastique kept doing these sort of like slow, I'm laying down, I'm getting up things. And Vanjie kept doing these like, I'm hood and I'm whipping my tail. And it was very like, meh. Well, I was bored.
Unless you are going to do a running jump something from the back of the stage, do not go back to the back of the
runway.
Well,
what she was doing was that reference to Alyssa, but it wasn't funny.
Exactly, but it didn't click, and you're taking yourself away from the eyes of the judges.
You need to be up front.
Be up front.
And this is the problem. I don't feel like either of them felt like there was an urgency to the moment.
Which, to be fair, with that song,
it would be hard. Well, and that's why I said, like, I don't think that song is good for a lip sync.
No.
But because there was no way to, like, it just was not good.
Yeah.
It's not like it was a bad lip sync, but I just wasn't feeling it. And when it came to the end, I was like, I don't know.
Yeah, I was very conflicted as well. Because for me, Vanjie looked desperate and Plastique looked
Like she wasn't trying very hard.
Yeah, just kind of
like, I'm up here doing it. Yeah. Like, it didn't feel like either of them was lip syncing for their life.
No.
So Rue chooses Miss Vanjie to Shantae You Stay. And I kind of, she's got a hard on for Vanjie.
Yeah. To be honest, I think that acting wise and challenge wise, they have done very similar. I think Plastique's runway looks are far and beyond better than Vanjie's. And their lip sync, I feel like, was pretty fair. Like, pretty on par for both of them. So it has to just be,
it's preference at that point.
And for me, I don't agree with this.
I think that Plastique probably has a little more to show us.
Yeah.
But I also think that this is going to be an unpopular opinion. I don't think that either of them is going to go all the way.
I agree.
It could have been either of them, but like, I don't think that either of them has what it takes necessarily to be a winner.
I can, and we talked about this, I can see Plastique growing a little more and coming back to an all-star season.
For sure.
But for this, I don't. And I love Miss Vanjie. I have nothing against her.
I absolutely love Miss Vanjie, but I don't think she has the versatility that a winner needs.
Well, and I don't think she's as versatile as Plastique. Right. Plastique wore a lot of the same silhouettes, but they were so well
executed.
Done,
yeah,
that I can excuse that here and there, and that just isn't the case with Vanjie. So. It is what it is.
Yeah.
You get what you get and you don't throw a fit.
So Plastique goes home and we get to look into next week, which is
bum, 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 bum.
A magic show.
Magic show. I
love it.
Welcome to the show.
Welcome to the show.
I'm excited for this.
I am too. It's something totally brand new and I think it'll be really fun.
Yeah, and you know, from the look of it, freaking editors, they
screw with you. Yeah. They want you to feel things and it's like, don't just show me bits. Don't like stop editing with the karakakakaka.
Well, that's
I know it's fun, but not in the previews. It makes me so nervous.
That's their karakakaka craft.
Shut up.
Whatever. So yeah. And this will be our episode we record before we go on our trip
European vacation.
To Europe, which we will inform you as to our plans for the Europe podcasts.
Yes,
next
so
episode.
There will be some changes to when things come out and whatnot, but we will let you know what the plans are. So I'm just going to say this straight up. I think that the shine is wearing off the ganache. And I am going to say that Silky goes home next week.
Oh.
What you gonna do?
I want to say that too, but I think the Silk is still strong, unfortunately, and I am going to say it will be, I'm gonna say Banji. I'm gonna say it again.
Oh, all right, all right.
I think
all right,
she dodged the bullet this episode. Really do.
All right. Well, we will see next week what happens, and we will be here to tell you all about it on
What the Tuck.
What the Tuck, What the Tuck.
With Brittany.
And Lindsay. We're good at our jobs.